Right, 12 minutes past 10. You'd hardly believe this. It's actually, well, maybe we should believe it, but we mentioned it this morning at the very beginning of the programme, and I did ask you the question, is it sensible or the height of nonsense? The gliders in West Belfast are to have electronic signage in Irish, but the software will cancel when the glider goes into East Belfast. Now, is that the way to go? Because remember, West Belfast is a Gaeltacht area, or there's certainly a part of West Belfast is a Gaeltacht area, and therefore the Irish language is to be promoted in the Gaeltacht. But is it common sense to switch it off when you go out of a Gaeltacht area? Is there no chance that Gaeltacht people might ever leave their own neck of the woods? I want to speak to Pat Deeds, who's from Andrahidge, which is, of course, the bridge, and it's the Irish language school and all of that in the area. Which is in the Ormo area, actually. Pat, good morning.
How you doing, Frank? It's Paul, by the way.
Did I call you Pat? I did call you Pat, and I'm going to take responsibility for that myself, Paul, because
worse than worse.
It is, of course, it is Paul, and I my humblest apologies. My head's like a sieve, Paul. With regards to this issue of the gliders having the Irish language signage, and then changing it when they go into East Belfast, is it political correctness or a political necessity?
It's a necessity. I would prefer to have the whole word politics taken out of the conversation. And when you said there about it being because West Belfast has a Gaeltacht quarter in it, that's not exactly true, although that has helped bring the thing into place, get it implemented. But it's something that we as a modern European city should have anyway. It's something that you will see if you go to any other city in Europe. And it's something that should be in place 20 years after the Good Friday Agreement, 15 years after the European Charter for Regional and Minority Languages was signed up to by the British government. So this should have been in place a long time ago. So we're behind time with this.
So to clear this up for me then, do you believe that the Irish language signage should only be in West Belfast, where it is, in your opinion, a necessity, or should it be visible right across the glider route?
I think it should be visible right across the glider route. And I think it was Linda Irvine said, you know, if people in other areas don't want to look at it, don't look at it. You know what? People, if you take the example of the Queen's speech and the coverage in BBC of the 12th, people from a nationalist persuasion don't have to look at that. You know, they're not going to protest against the BBC or boycott television, but they just don't look. So if people don't want to see the signage, don't look. It's just a language. It's not a tricolour. It's not a symbol of republicanism. It's a language. And you will see languages in places like that across Europe, across buses and other forms of transport in every modern European city. So it shouldn't offend anybody.
Well, I suppose a fine example is if you go to Wales, everything seems to be bilingual in Wales. I'm not so sure about seeing a lot of Scots Gaelic in Scotland. I'm sure it is there, but it's not as evident as it is in Wales, and we do see a variety of languages in other European cities, as you say. But is East Belfast ready for the Irish language? And you mentioned Linda Irvine. Linda Irvine, of course, from the same stock as David Irvine, and very much a promoter of the Irish language in the Lower Newton Arch Road area. But the rest of East Belfast, would they not feel that something unpopular was being foisted upon them if Translink took the step to display the language, for example, in Ballyhackamore?
Well, in this case, Frank, people are always going to be offended at something. What we need is we need leadership, and we need people to recognise that we're, as I said, 20 years after the Good Friday Agreement, this has to be a shared place. There's no threat to people's identity by having another identity recognised. You know, because I'm an Irish language speaker doesn't mean that I am the opposite number of the people in Ballyhackamore. There are people in Ballyhackamore speaking Irish as well. And as Linda shows and Linda's classes show, it's hugely popular in East Belfast. So you find a lot of people might take to it quite well. But it's a language. That's the bottom line, Frank. We're talking about a language here. We're not talking about a political symbol. If people are still calling it a political symbol, and I accept that some people are and some political parties are, what they need to do is show some leadership, because we're just talking about a language and we can recognise everybody's identity and celebrate everybody's identity. And as modern Europeans, we should do.
But is that not part of your problem, whereby it is such a political hot potato, the Irish language? Therefore, those who would just like to see it sit comfortably on signage are disadvantaged.
Well, they're not disadvantaged in any way. They're not disadvantaged at all. All they have to do is not look. But the fact that it's a political hot potato all that says is that we need the politicians that live up to their name and show a bit of leadership and stop it being a political hot potato. And one of the ways, you mentioned Wales there, one of the reasons Welsh is doing so well in Wales is that they have a good, strong Welsh Language Act. So, as I made the point before, I think to yourself, if we have legislation, that takes it out of the political arena and it stops it being a hot potato. It just simply becomes part of everyday life. And it offends nobody. And you would find in that case, if the Irish language was to be seen on buses and other places, and there was an Irish Language Act that had taken it out of the political arena, you would see that it would not be as hot a political potato then.
But I'm just thinking about Ballybean Estate in Dundonald, and you have a bus going in the vicinity with it written in Irish. You know what, the people of Ballybean, those who would raise heckles at the like of that, ready for that sort of change. I'm not talking about all of the people. I'm sure the vast majority of people in Ballybean just want to get on with living their lives. But there would be people who would see that, for example, in Ballybean, where there are UDA and UVF murals, they would see something being foisted upon them.
Yeah, but it's even the way that the debate is framed when we talk about things being foisted upon them and we anticipate people being offended. That's all wrong in itself. You know, we're talking about a language here, and what I would say to those people, because I can't understand that people feel their identity is under threat in this case when they see another identity, the other identity being pushed. And what I would say is that, you know, 20 years after the Good Friday Agreement, we have to start making this place a shared place. It has to recognise both main identities and other identities if we're going to keep moving forward. These are pretty worrying times, Frank, with what is going on up at Stormont. And we need, as a society, to start saying, we don't fear the other. There's a real need for that, and that includes the Irish language.
Do you have some sympathy for TransLink in the decision-making process in this?
Well, it's not an easy one for them. And I think TransLink in the past have shown a bit of vision and leadership themselves by bringing in these Irish language signage. The Irish language signs on buses in West Belfast, but I don't know. I mean, I think Linda again caught it well when she said it was bizarre that they were going to have software that changes it once it leaves West Belfast. I think that is bizarre, and I think TransLink need to look at that.
Okay, Paul, thank you very much for your time this morning. Paul Deeds from Andrahage.